They arrive at dawn in their geography of hats, a dark field of figures, stalks in motion, bending toward the Docklands. Scattered at first in the streets of Brooklyn, they have come by trolley and ferry and elevated train. They begin to gather together in a wave. Hard men, diligent in the smoking of cigarettes, they stamp yesterday's mud from their boots as they walk. A trail of muck is left in the snow. Ice puddles are cracked by the weight of their feet. The cold inveigles itself into their bodies. Some of the men have big mustaches that move like prairie grasses above their lips. Others are young and raw from razors. All of them have faces hollowed by the gravity of their work. They smoke furiously, with the knowledge of those who might be dead in just a few hours. Hunching down into their overcoats, they can perhaps still smell last night on their bodies. They might have been drunk, or they might have been making love, or they might have been both at once. Later they will laugh at these stories of drink and love, but for now they are silent. It is far too cold to do anything but walk and smoke. They move toward the East River and cluster near the tunnel entrance, stamping their boots on the cobblestones for warmth. The snow turns to slush at their feet. When the whistle calls the sandhogs to work, they take a last pull on their cigarettes. The red tops of the butts flare and are dropped to the ground, one by one, as if swarms of fireflies are laying themselves down to rest. In the middle of the line, Nathan Walker watches as men from the nighttime shift emerge from the tunnel, mucked head to toe, exhausted. Walker realizes that he is looking at his future, so he doesn't stare too closely. But every now and then his hand stretches out and slaps a finished man's shoulder. The weary man raises his head, nods, lurches on. Walker resists the urge to sneeze. He knows that to have a cold means losing a day's pay. His nose or his ears might leak blood in the compressed air beneath the river. If a cold is telegraphed, the foreman will pull him out from the crowd. So Walker sucks his coughing and his sneezing down into his stomach. He takes an amulet from his pocket, a piece of stone, and rolls it around in his fingers. The good luck charm is icy to the touch. Walker whispers to his partner, Con O'Leary,
"What say, bud?
Sick as a small hospital. I hang over to beat the band."
"Me too."
"Sweet Jesus, it's cold though," says O'Leary.
"Ain't it just?
Heads up, son. Here we go."
The foreman nods at the two sandhogs, and they join the group at the mouth of the shaft. They stand close together and inch forward. Walker hears the whine of the compression machine from underground. It's a long, hard, high sound that will soon become nothing in his ears. The river is a grabber of sound, taking it, swallowing it. Walker adjusts his hat and gives a last look out over the distance. Across the river, the three-arch customs house is gray in the morning. Longshoremen are busy at the docks. A couple of cargo ships are negotiating flows of ice. Out on the water, a young woman in a bright red coat stands on the deck of a ferry boat, waving her arms back and forth. Walker recognizes her as Maura O'Leary. Just before he disappears from view, her husband, Con, touches his hat in a gesture that could be dismissal or boredom, but is in fact love. Walker grins at the sight, lowers his head, and begins his descent beneath the river toward another day's digging on this, a morning so cold that even his heart feels frozen to the wall of his chest.